Well, you know, when believers think about end time events, there are usually two responses to end time events. There's some who say, look, I'm not interested because it's just too confusing. And they think that believers can't really know what's going to happen. In fact, they say nobody really knows. All we know is Jesus is one of these days is going to come back. When he's going to come back, how he's going to come back, what's he going to do when he comes back, we don't know for sure. So they say technically there's no needs to be a lot of emphasis on end time events because you can't really know it all anyway. There's a second view and a second group of people who believe that it's exciting. They think that you can put the Word of God together and understand it, that God has revealed in His Word a number of these events, the order, the plans of what He's going to do. And it is exciting to study the Word of God and put it together. I think our church is definitely the second group, that we believe you can know the Scripture. We believe that you can know God's end time events, that He has told us in His Word, and that's in different places. I mean, you can go to the book of Revelation, you can go to the book of Daniel, you can go to Zechariah, you can go to Matthew 24:25, you can go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, you can go to 2 Thessalonians, you can go to different places and put together end time events. Now, it takes a little work to do that and to see how it fits, so we'll see that. It is exciting to study God's Word, and when you think about the future ministry of Christ, it centers around end time events. It is possible to know and understand how these things fit together. Well, let me go back and give you sort of a big review of where we've been. We divided our study, into two big parts. Our study is two parts: Jesus Christ's background and Jesus Christ's ministry. In the background, we looked at Him as the Son of God, the Savior, the unique one. We went through a bunch of things about His characteristics. We looked at He's the all-powerful God. We did a great three or four lessons on that. It took us to go through it because we had such good input and everything. Then we're looking at the ministry. It's divided into the past, the present, and the future. And that's where we are now. We've looked at it. In the past, we saw that He was the Creator and Redeemer. And that's what He did. And we went to details. We talked about how He purchased us and how God is satisfied and how man is reconciled to God and all of that. The last weeks we've been looking at the present ministry. Where is He right now? Seated at the right hand of the throne of the Father. And so He has ministry for us in two different places. Hebrews 8:1-2 talks about that. He has ministry in two different places. He has ministry in heaven and ministry on earth. Ministry in heaven, He's head over the church. He's preparing us a place. He's going to prepare a place for us. And He's our representative as our intercession and our advocate. And that's a key. He's the one that intercedes for us. Then we want to bring any request up to God. He is our advocate when we sin. Also, He has a ministry on earth. Even He's seated at the right hand of the Father, since He's God and He's everywhere, He's also inside of us, indwelling believers. He gives us the power to serve, and He is the sustainer of the whole world. Colossians talks about that. Now, with that in mind, we turn to His future ministry, and there are two parts to the future ministry, two aspects: His coming in the clouds and His coming to the earth. And this is where we are. Of course, we're on a little chart. We realize that in the future, now think about this, and everybody believes this. I mean, whatever group you hold to, and I think everybody in our group would hold to what we call premillennial dispensational view, but other people, everybody believes that one day Jesus is coming back. The question is how, when, and where, and all that. And what we realize that His future ministry has two aspects: His coming in the clouds and His coming to the earth. And we want to put that together. Before we get into that, I got a chart for you. If you want to, go to the last page. Okay? We've also got that chart right here. Now, you can't read it. But they fixed it up there where they're going to center in and highlight in some things. But I just for a second, we're looking at that. You notice that there is a big flow. Starts on the left side of the page, and it's Old Testament. And it goes up to the cross, and you can probably see the cross. And then after the cross, there you see it says church age, and then you see rapture, and you see tribulation, and then you see second coming. You see millennium. You see all of that. Now, let me get you some details. When you start talking about Christ and His comings, we talk about Advents. There are two comings of Christ to the earth. Here's the first one, I think, is you can see the Old Testament. Christ comes, the first coming in the fullness of time. God brought forth His Son, born of a woman, Galatians 4:4. Jesus Christ came to this earth. He is born. He grew up, age 12. We have what He did. That's about the only thing you can see much of His childhood. He's 12 years old. And then about 30 years old, He begins a ministry, three and a half years of ministry. He came, died on the cross, paid for sin, rose again. And as you notice, after walking on the earth, He ascends back to heaven. That's His first coming. You should understand that as the first advent, the first coming of Christ. And now here's the key. You have to think that we're talking about Christ coming to the earth. That's the key. There is a second coming that Christ comes to the earth. And if you notice on your chart, it says second coming, coming with his saints. He is coming back to the earth. That's Revelation 19. We're going to see more details on that in the next lesson, lesson 6. But he comes back as the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. He's going to set up a kingdom which we call the millennium, which lasts for 1,000 years. That's his second coming to the earth. So the first coming, he came to die. The second coming, he comes to reign. Now, get this so you can understand the flow. The first coming and the second coming are to the earth. There is another coming of Christ, which actually takes place in between the first coming and the second coming. He comes in the clouds, and I think we have that, and we call that the rapture. Now, notice the difference where it says rapture. The church is taken off the face of the earth. Church is in heaven with Christ. As he comes in the clouds, all of us who are believers, dead in Christ, rise first. We are alive and made to be caught up together with him. So this is not a coming to the earth. This is not the same thing as Matthew 24:25. It is not the same thing as Revelation chapter 19, verse 11. It is not the same thing as Daniel chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. When you study the Bible, you have to understand this is a different event. This is Christ coming in the clouds to take the church off the face of the earth. So when we talk about his ministry in the future, we're going to see it ties around his two comings. His coming in the clouds, that's the rapture. And then I don't know if we can go to that other one again, if we can, his second coming. And his coming to the earth, that's his second coming. So when you heard me say a while ago, the ministry of Christ at this, his future events or his future ministry deals with two comings, comings in the cloud and coming to the earth. You know that the coming in the cloud now is called the rapture, and the coming to the earth is really called the second coming. So when you think about end time events, and let me just put this in your mind so you can think about it. We study this in that study that we do on Tuesday nights that we're doing now called the 2-2 study. We'll have 3 to 4 lessons dealing with end time events, because I want the people in our church to be able to understand this and put it together. And we did a study in Sunday school not too long ago on end time events. But think about it this way. All this time had gone, and then all of a sudden, the first coming of Christ, he comes to the earth to die. He dies and rises again, ascends back into heaven. We're in what's called the church age. He's going to come in the clouds to take us off. And after he takes us off, there'll be that time period called the tribulation and all that. Then there's the second coming of Christ back to the earth to set up a kingdom. First coming to die, second coming to reign, coming in the clouds to take the church out. So that's how end time fits together. And sometime if you want to, you look at your chart, you can go into more details, you can do all of that. Now, we're going to go through the outline better, but I just wanted you to see that so you can put it together. Before I go any further, let me ask you, anybody got any questions, just basic questions, anything about the flow chart that I just gave you, or the first coming, second coming, or the coming in the clouds? Any questions or anybody? Yeah, Gary. It could. A lot of people, this Gary did a good job on bringing that out. Remember, here we see that Jesus is going to come in the clouds and the church is going to be taken off the face of the earth. And then what we have, I put a little gap between the rapture and the tribulation. Years past, everybody, when they drew the chart, they would draw it this way. They would say, church is taken out, tribulation begins. That's what everybody thought. But it doesn't necessarily have to be that way. In fact, when the church is taken off the face of the earth, it could be years before the man of sin comes to power and claims, you know, takes power, and there's a peace pact made with the nation of Israel. The tribulation time period, that 7-year time period, begins with a peace pact being made between the nation of Israel and whoever this man of sin is. Now, he's not known, he's not perceived to be a man of sin at the start of the tribulation. He's perceived to be a world leader who wants to bring peace to the earth, and the nation of Israel makes a peace pact with him. We don't know how long it will be from the time the church is taken off the earth until the beginning of that peace pact and what we call the 7-year tribulation. So you're right, it could be no time. I mean, it could happen so rapidly, or it could be years. So I've drawn the chart a little bit different, because in the old days, as soon as church age ends, we would just write tribulation. But we don't know exactly how long it's going to be from the time that Jesus Christ comes and takes us out until the tribulation begins. So that is a great point. Could be any length of time. What else? Any other just brief questions about this, the flow chart and the first coming, second coming, coming in the clouds? Okay, with that in mind, let's go back to our sheet, and we're realizing that as far as his past ministry, he's already come the first time. And so when we're thinking about the future ministry, it all centers around two more comings, one in the clouds and one to the earth. Now, what I want you to be able to do is you should be able to make the distinctions. You should be able to look at a chart like that or even draw up your own chart to say, first time he came to die. Second time he comes to reign. In between, he's going to come get the church, because the church has nothing to do with the tribulation. Tribulation deals with who? They know? Israel. Yeah, the church and Israel are not the same thing. Church is the body of Christ. Israel is a nation, God's people group that he chose from Abraham to Isaac through Jacob. So the body of Christ, which is made up of Jews and Gentiles and one body who have trusted in Jesus, that's totally separate. He's going to come take us out. And then that tribulation time period, those 7 years are actually the final 7 years of God's dealing with the nation of Israel. He promised them. Let me just throw this out. Don't even worry about it. But in Daniel 9, 24 through 27, he promised the nation of Israel he would give them 490 years to do their ministry. When Jesus Christ died on the cross, if you go back and take time period from the time that he started that time to the time Jesus died on the cross at the 483-year mark. Jewish people still have 7 years left to fulfill the ministry that God has for them as a people group. After Jesus died on the cross, God, in a sense, sets Israel aside for a while, uses the church, which is the body of Christ. When he takes off the body of Christ, Israel still got 7 years left. That's what that time period, that's what that peace pact's going to be. That's their final 7 years. So there's a lot of stuff there. Okay, any more questions, anything? Where is that? Daniel 9, 24 through 27. It's listed as 70 weeks. That's how he listed it, but a week means seven, so it's 70 times seven or 490. It's a little bit, it's a little bit complicated, but you have to put it together to be able to grasp it. Okay. So, it's going to come in the clouds, come to the earth. Now, this study, this one you got in your hands, is going to deal with the rapture. It's going to deal with his coming to the earth. And so we're going to see some things as we get there. In fact, the rapture coming in the clouds. Now, let me remind you of something that we did study on all of this and how it all fits together. And I think there's some great things that when you think about it, this could happen any second. Now, how many of you have heard people say, well, we know it's near the end because of all the what? The signs. There are no signs for the rapture. Not one. There are many signs for the second coming. There are no signs for the rapture. So let's think about it for a second. The word rapture is not even in the Bible, just like Trinity is not in the Bible. But the word rapture comes from a Latin word, rapio, which means a snatching away. Probably the closest word you're going to find in the scripture that would deal with the church being taken away is the Greek word apostasia, which means to move away. A lot of times the word is translated apostasy, which usually means something has moved away negatively, like you've moved away from the truth. But the church will be moved away from the earth, and that's why the Greek word is apostasia that is used. But most theologians, most people, when they talk about this, they use the word rapture, which means a snatching away. Now, once again, just remember this, that Jesus Christ could come in the clouds and snatch us, all of us who have trusted in Jesus Christ as Savior, snatch us off the face of the earth just like that. It could happen any second. There's not one thing that has to be done. Now, you remember that when we did a study not too long ago on Israel and the church and the end time events, we realized that Israel and the church are two separate things, and the church is never even mentioned in the Old Testament. Therefore, the rapture is not even mentioned in the Old Testament. The snatching away is mentioned in the New Testament, because that's Paul and Jesus and them giving the information about the church. So let's talk about what's going to happen with the coming in the clouds. I think the very first thing we're going to find is that the believers will be raised and changed. That's us. That's us who know Jesus Christ. And I told you, go ahead and turn to 1 Thessalonians. We're going to look at that in just a second. But the event that's going to happen when Jesus Christ comes in the clouds. Now, there's two aspects of believers now. There are believers who are alive right now on this earth, let's say us, and then there are people who have trusted in Jesus Christ as Savior, and they died. And their body is where? In the ground. Where is their soul and spirit? With Jesus. Because to be absent from the body is to be where? present with the Lord. So when Jesus Christ comes in the clouds, coming back to the earth, not to the earth, but coming in the clouds, the believers will be raised and changed. Notice 1 Thessalonians, look at verse 13. We don't want you to be uninformed, brethren, about those who are asleep. He's writing to people. That was one of the questions that some of the people in Thessalonica had. What about somebody who dies before Jesus comes back? That's the question. They already knew that one of these days when the Messiah would come back, he would deliver them and they would be with Jesus. But what about somebody who died before he got back? Well, now that 2,000 years have gone, most people have died. I mean, all these thousands of people have died before he's come back. At that point in time, maybe that not that many had died, because this was written early. This was written early. 50, so not even 30 years after Jesus' death and resurrection. So there are people who have died, and they're saying, what about them? So Paul says, listen, we don't want you to be uninformed, brethren, about those who sleep, those who died. So you will not grieve as the rest who have no hope. I don't want you grieving that way. Here's what we understand. For if we believe, and it's a first class if in Greek, which means for since we believe that Jesus died and rose again, and we believe that he died and rose again, even so, God will bring with him, with Jesus, those who have fallen asleep in Jesus. Now, when Jesus comes in the clouds, who's coming with him? The believers who've what? Who've already died. See, their body's in the grave, and their soul and spirit is where? To be absent from the bodies. So when Jesus comes in the clouds to come get us, they're coming with him. So where is our bodies? Right here. Where is our soul and spirit? Right here. Their bodies are in the ground, but their soul and spirit's with Jesus. So when he comes, it says, for since we believe Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who have already fallen asleep in Jesus. He's bringing them back. Now, why do they come with Jesus? What are they coming for? Get their what? Get their bodies. See, because we're going to be changed in a moment, a twinkle of an eye. We're going to be going, hey, this is great, right? Moment, twinkle of an eye. But they've been with the Lord, and they're coming back to get their bodies. Watch what's going to happen. He says, I say to you by the word of the Lord that we who are alive and remain, that's us, until the coming of the Lord will not precede those who have already fallen asleep. What's going to happen? For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet of God. And guess what's going to happen? The dead in Christ will rise first. What does he mean by that? Okay, so what's going to rise first? Their bodies. When people talk about the graves are going to be opened, are the graves going to be open? What do you think? I mean, how the bodies are going to get out? Like maybe they'll just sneak through. Maybe, I don't know. Their bodies are going to be raised, right? And then what does it say? Then we who are alive and remain, we be caught up together with them. Where? On the earth? In the clouds. To meet the Lord. Where? In the air? No, yeah, in the air, not on the earth, and we shall always be with the Lord. So the very first thing that we see, the future ministry of Christ, which could happen at any second, he's going to come in the clouds, and when he comes, the saints are coming with him, Old Testament, the church age believers, their bodies will be raised, and we will be changed and caught up together to meet them in the air. Thus will always be there. That's why he ends the passage by saying, therefore, comfort one another with these words. Comfort each other with these words. Who? Our bodies. We're going to be changed and we'll just be taken off the face of the earth and we'll meet the Lord. In fact, we will meet the bodies of our loved ones who have gone before us as their body and spirit comes together in a glorified body. And our body will be changed to be a glorified body and we'll be up there together. And he says, thus we'll be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And says, we'll always be with the Lord. So comfort one another with these words. Yeah, Rick. This is a great question. The dead in Christ, notice how he says it. He didn't say the dead of all time. He didn't say all the unbelievers who've ever died. He says the dead in Christ. He's talking about the church age. The Old Testament saints, the believers, their bodies are still in the grave. Those bodies will not be raised until it's time for the kingdom. We'll talk about that at the second coming of Christ. Because, see, the Old Testament saints, they're not part of the church, and they're looking forward to what? If you're in the Old Testament, what are you looking forward to? The Messiah. And when the Messiah comes, what does he set up? the kingdom. That's what you're waiting for. Daniel 12, 1 and 2 talks about the Old Testament saints being raised bodily to go into the kingdom. So the only people being raised when Christ comes in the clouds are those who are connected with the church, the body of Christ, those who have believed in Christ as Savior from the day of Pentecost on, basically, because that's the body of Christ. That's when it was formed, Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. Okay, does that make sense? Let me give you the other verse just so we can get through with this, because the first bell has already rung. Look at 1 Corinthians 15. I want you to see some verses. First Corinthians 15, verse 50, 51, and verse 52 tells us what's going to happen, and it's going to happen just like that. Notice. Now I say this, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. He's saying to get into the eternal kingdom and to be with Jesus Christ and all that can't be these regular old bodies, because they wear out. Behold, I tell you a mystery. It's a mystery because this wasn't told in the Old Testament, because the church was never made known in the Old Testament. This is dealing with the church. Behold, I'll tell you this mystery. We will not all sleep. What does that mean? We will not all what? Die, but we will all be what? Changed. Now, there's going to be one generation of New Testament saints who will never die physically. We all say, well, I hope it's us, you know. Because Paul thought he could come any second. Paul was writing he could come any second. He's writing this right here. He says, I want to show you this mystery. In a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable. That's the ones who've already died. And then what? And we will be changed. This is incredible. Now, we've heard this so much that we go, oh, yeah, I've heard that. Listen, do you realize what's going to happen? One of these days, Jesus Christ is going to come in the clouds, and there's going to be a trumpet sound. That's where everybody talks about the trumpet. He says, with the trumpet, the voice of the archangel, and the trump of God, basically back in 1 Thessalonians. Here he says, the last trumpet will sound, the dead will be raised imperishable and will be changed. The graves will burst open with those who have believed in Jesus Christ as Savior. Their bodies will be raised, go up in the air. We will be changed in a moment, twinkling of an eye. We'll be taken up in the air. We'll meet the Lord in the air. Now, if you say, I don't believe that, that's the Word of God. I mean, that's what it says. And we take that to be literal truth, that one of these days, Jesus will come in the clouds and take us off the face of the earth. Now, I've got a handout next week that shows that this is not the same as His second coming. See, there are a lot of people who say, that coming in the clouds and all that stuff, that's all the same as when Jesus comes back the second time. It's not the same. Two different events. We'll show how next time, but I want you to see how that works. We didn't get very far. How is all this possible? Verse 54, the perishable put on imperishable, the mortal put on immortality. Why is this possible? Because death has been swallowed up in victory. Oh, death, where is your sting? Oh, death, where is your victory? There's not one, because look at verse 57 of 1 Corinthians 15. But thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 15 is dealing with resurrection. And he's talking about our resurrection, or the resurrection, the change of the body is the resurrected body. But let me stop for a second. The bell is going to ring in just a second. But tell me, everybody understand what we're saying? The very first thing, when we talk about the coming in the clouds, the future ministry of Christ when he comes in the clouds, believers will be raised and changed. All of those who have trusted in Christ as Savior from the day of Pentecost on, when they die, they go to be with the Lord. Their bodies in the ground. When He comes back, they're coming back with Him, and their bodies will be raised, and we will be changed. Questions, comments, anything right now? Yes. Well, you're talking about like babies and things. Let me give you this question, and then here's your question. What about somebody who is unable to believe, let's say it's a one-year-old baby, and the rapture occurs, what happens to the one-year-old baby? Does the one-year-old baby be changed and go up too? Well, that's a real hard question, and here's why. Because when you get to the book of 1 Corinthians, which we are studying on Wednesday night, he deals with a place about dealing with a believer and an unbeliever in a household. And he makes this statement. He talks about the believer and unbeliever, if they marry. If an unbeliever ends up marrying a believer, or somehow in that household, there's a believing mama or a believing daddy and an unbelieving one of the others. And he talks about they should stay together. And he says, because this sanctifies the children, and there is a belief that if one of the parents as a believer, when the rapture happens, when that parent is raptured off, those children who are not to the age where they can believe are also raptured out. That's a belief. There's also the belief that if both parents are not believers, that child stays. So, who knows? Nobody knows for sure. I tell you, when it happens, we'll just check it out and say, well, who's there and who's not. But that's a great question. I personally believe that if one of the parents is believing, the children go. That's just what I've looked at. Huh? They're sanctified, yeah. They're set apart.
JB, does the Scripture give any indication of what a glorified body is going to look like?
The Scripture, besides tall, no glasses, and a lot of hair, other than that, I don't think it gives any indication. But the truth is, it doesn't. And what a glorified body is, the best we can tell, is a body that never decays, never wears out. And the hardest part, and we mentioned this, and I know time is up, but the hardest part is, how are you going to tell? I mean, what if somebody dies when they're 12? What are they going to be like for all eternity? What if somebody's 85 when they die? I mean, what will people be? Will they all be the same age? How will they look? We will recognize, because the Bible says that we'll know as we're known. We'll know who people are. So the question is, what will we look like? Will we all be age 30? There's some people who believe that all be age 30 because that's the age Jesus began his ministry, and we'll all be that age. Whether you ever made it to 30 or you were past 30, that's what some say. So who knows? I'd like to have the height that I had when I was 30, but we just don't know. Isn't that amazing? Okay, we'll get back to this. Okay, we just gotten started. There's a lot of great stuff. Get your questions ready on end time stuff, because next time as well, not only are we going to talk about end time stuff, we're going to talk about rewards. Because can you go to number 2 and number 3 real quickly? Here's number 2, get new bodies. Here's number 3. There will be rewards. Believers, we're going to talk about rewards, and we get to it next week or the week after that, but we'll talk about that. Dear Heavenly Father, what a great morning. Thank you for each one that is here. Help us, Lord, as we put all this together and study it so we can know it and make application. Lord, thank you that one of these days Jesus is going to come in the clouds, and the dead in Christ will rise first, and we who are alive and remain to be caught up together with him, and thus we'll always be with you. Thank you, Lord. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.